Dell reaches a deal to go private.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, February the 5th. Dell has just gotten an offer to be taken private. The investors are Dell's founder, Michael Dell, along with the private equity firm Silver Lake Partners and Microsoft. Joining us now with the latest is Henry Blodgett, CEO of Business Insider. Hi, Henry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And what do we know about this deal so far?
Well, we know that they have been in talks for about 6 months, and obviously this is the worst-kept secret on Wall Street for the last month or so as these talks have progressed. And so people have anticipated it. There was a premium to the stock price before the deal chatter started getting out, and now they have finally come through and delivered a very big private equity deal.
Why will it be easier for Dell to turn itself around as a private company rather than as a publicly traded company?
Public companies are held very strictly to quarterly performance, to projections. You simply have more flexibility as a private company to do things without getting screamed at. And I suspect that what Silver Lake and Michael Dell will do here is first pay themselves a huge dividend from all the cash that Dell has on hand. Then they will start selling off businesses. They will start streamlining things. Sometimes it is easier to do all that without the glare and scrutiny of the public market.
And what do you think we'll end up with in the end? Is Dell going to look like a very different company than, say, some of its rivals like HP?
I think it will certainly give the opportunity for management to now change the direction. Maybe they will get into the smartphone business. Maybe they will get more aggressively into the tablet business. They also will likely streamline and cut costs and reduce the cash balance and increase the debt, which is the typical financial engineering that a lot of private equity firms tend to do.
Henry Blodgett, CEO of Business Insider, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, in other news this morning, the U.S. government is suing Standard & Poor's. The rating agency is accused of inflating its assessment of mortgage-backed securities and contributing to the mortgage meltdown. Marketplace's Jim Burris reports.
The suit alleges S&P knew some $4 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities were risky, but the government claims S&P still gave those securities top ratings. Economic consultant Gary Schilling says Wall Street banks needed S&P's stamp of approval.
And the rating agencies were working with them to put the maximum amount of what was really very low quality merchandise in there and securitize it and sell it off to people who thought that a AAA rating meant something.
Attorney Floyd Abrams represents McGraw-Hill, S&P's parent company. He says the case is without merit, adding that other ratings agencies and even top federal officials echoed S&P's high ratings.
Essentially, what the Department of Justice has done is to transform internal disagreements about what to do next in volatile times into a fraud case.
George Washington University law professor Jeffrey Manns says this is the first time the government has sued a credit rating agency over the housing crisis.
It may underscore that the federal government will take a more aggressive posture in the future in trying to go and hold rating agencies accountable.
It's expected attorneys general from at least a dozen states could also file suit. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The unemployment rate in the U.S. is 7.9%, and until that number falls below 6.5%, the Federal Reserve says it'll keep up its aggressive monetary easing. In some parts of the country, unemployment is below 6.5. We sent Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman to one of them, Boise, Idaho.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, Mitchell Hartman. So this is the place,
this
huh?
is Boise Fried Company. Yeah, welcome.
You can't legally come to southwestern Idaho, I don't think, without eating Idaho potatoes.
You want a small size or large size, bison or beef?
Boise Fry Company is tucked into a strip mall just minutes from downtown. It's the brainchild of 32-year-old entrepreneur Blake Lingle. He's cornered the gourmet French fry market.
At the top is the russet. Gold is next to that. It's kind of a slightly more buttery, softer, sweet, maybe a little sweeter version of the russet. My preference, I like it over the russet.
Lingle serves beef and bison burgers plus six kinds of fries with sauces like Cajun and garlic aioli.
This is a fairly high-priced burger joint. It's not, you know, McDonald's. I mean, you're going to pay twice as much to eat here.
But get this, Lingle didn't start up when the economy was recovering. He opened 3.5 years ago, when unemployment was around 9% and local employers like Hewlett-Packard and Micron were laying off thousands.
You know, I was determined to open a business, and at some point, if it just happens to be the right time, you can't let a lot of other variables go through your mind. Some of the, you know, America's most successful companies actually did start during recessions. I think sometimes it allows you to be a lot more perhaps conservative in your financial approach to a business. You realize how risky it is.
Lingle did some things right, like location. He opened down the street from Boise's biggest hospital. Now he's opening his third restaurant. He'll have 30 employees. He pays well above minimum wage with full benefits. And in Boise, where unemployment has now fallen to 6.2%, things are looking, well, normal again.
I feel like a lot of my friends and colleagues have perhaps gotten promotions, gotten new jobs. I've seen a lot of other people take sort of entrepreneurial risks that I wasn't seeing in the last 3 years.
I insist on finishing our interview with the house special. It's called Bourgeois Fries, very marketplace, russets cooked in duck fat with truffle salt. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, to Muzak. That background music we hear in malls and elevators, well, according to the New York Times, the company that owns the name Muzak is rebranding it Mood. The Muzak itself will not change. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.